back on the record then. Going back to our regular agenda, item 45, I know that Commissioner Edwards needed to recuse herself, but we are at quorum on this, I think.
I think what we can do is there's no time frame on this.
Time on that one.
And so we'll just go ahead and move that to the next, the next meeting.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll have larger attendance where we can have a couple more. Commissioner Keene was the one.
He was the other one.
And there were two of them.
But anyway, we can have people go ahead and recuse themselves and still have a quorum. So
okay, so we'll move past that.
We'll just move that to the next meeting's agenda.
All right, very good. Well, with that then, I think that moves us to item 53, Lori Wellburn, default final order. Staff report, please.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, this is Diane Gould, staff. This case is item number 53 on page 223 in your meeting book, and it is a default final order on Lori Wellborn. On March 27th of this year, the commission found Lori Wellborn in violation of ORS 244.040 for using her official position as office manager for a public elementary school to steal $1,000 from the parent-teacher organization. This prohibited financial benefit would not have been available but for her holding of the official position. Ms. Wellborn pled guilty to theft charges for these actions and was ordered to spend 10 days in jail, 3 years of probation, and pay restitution in the amount of $5,881. Following the March 27th finding of violation, Ms. Wellborn was sent a settlement proposal and a notice of proposed civil penalty and opportunity for a contested hearing. She was informed she had 21 days to request a contested case hearing prior to a default final order being taken. She did not request a contested case hearing, and the default final order for $500 is in your meeting book for approval. Ms. Wellborn was notified of the default final order being on the agenda today and was invited to attend, but I haven't heard from her.
Ms. Gould, I have a question just like I do with Mr. Colella on this one. In terms of the 500, where does that fall on the on our list of what we're able to do?
That falls on.
He's going to have trouble on this
one. Meaning, is this the maximum that we can do under?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's the maximum.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we as staff usually recommend the maximum on when they just, frankly, just take money or
stole money.
Yeah.
Some type of criminal act.
That was my question. Okay.
Has she done her time? And is she out,
yes,
presumably?
Yes, she's out, and she's making restitution payments.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Any other questions for staff or discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the staff recommendation item number 53, a default final order involving Ms. Lori Wellborn.
So moved. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
He has to unmute himself because...
Commissioner Starr, I believe you're muted again.
Aye.
Here we go. And Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0.
Good. That takes us then to our correspondence and responses. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to review those. Ron, anything you wanted to discuss in any of these?
Nothing that I wanted. I just wanted to make sure that they're available for you folks for a reference. That it's the stuff that's gone on underneath my signature since the last meeting.
All right then, item 58, memorandum to suspend investigative phase.
Yes, thank you, Chair Sosa and Commissioners. This is the matter of Misty Rose Foster, and as indicated when we discussed this matter in executive session, Ms. Foster does have a pending criminal matter in front of her in Jefferson County, although she has pled guilty to several counts. She has not yet been sentenced. Commission staff is requesting the matter be suspended during the pendency of that criminal case, and the memo is in your meeting book at page 255.
Okay. Any questions or discussion on this?
I'll move approval of the action recommended in item 58, suspending the investigative phase of case number 20-100 ELC.
So moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0.
All right. Item 59, our meeting dates for 2021.
Yeah, so we wanted to include, it's that time of year again, because investigations now go out 180 days, so we're planning on next year. And so these are the proposed meeting dates. By doing it this way, you actually get the full amount of the 180 days. I will tell you that I think I mentioned earlier, we have a new commissioner. You might see her name on here, Amber Hollister. I have talked with her, and none of these dates conflict with... She actually has a meeting with her group on Fridays also, but none of these conflict with her meeting, so okay. She should be able to attend all of these.
All right. Does anyone have any concerns or issues with any of the proposed dates?
And we'll get these up on the website. Of course, as we've known, as the year goes by, if there needs to be a change, we can bring that up at the meeting, but we would like to get these out on the website so people know what they are.
Thank you. All right. Planner's report.
All right. So, Chair Sosa and Commissioners, in your meeting books, you will find a training report that reflects the training that has taken place since the last commission meeting, along with the July webinar calendar. Due to COVID-19, training conducted continues to be limited to webinar training, which is actually going well. Now that Becky is on the board, again, welcome, Becky. And we are putting our heads together, taking a fresh look at processes, looking at options, and what we can do to develop more interactive virtual training sessions. Earlier this week, Becky and I attended a webinar on using the Turning Point software that we have available to us for polling attendees. And it allows for a virtual or an online method to do that type of polling, so to utilize that software. So the statistics that are gained from that polling from our audience during the training sessions are not only used for us to improve our processes, but we use them to report on our agency key performance measures, which basically measures what an individual... how they benefit from our training. In other words, are they becoming more knowledgeable from our training or not? And that's kind of the key performance measure. So we use that. So in order to do that, traditionally, attendees are quizzed prior to any training that we provide, and then they're quizzed again after we provide the training to see if their knowledge has improved. So the webinar itself was very enlightening and gave us a lot of food for thought. When we're developing our future virtual training sessions. As another update, we have a virtual training session that's coming up on Tuesday with the Department of Forestry. So that's June 30th. It will be covering use of office, conflicts of interest, as well as executive sessions. The city of Troutdale was on that list of rescheduling for trainings that were canceled because of COVID-19. They actually rescheduled for July 23rd. Of course, it depends at this point whether Troutdale moves into phase two, whether or not we will hold that or we'll have to reschedule again. Other than that, those are the updates and kind of concludes the training report unless there are some questions.
My only quick comment is late fall, I'll work with you to try to organize at least an opportunity for the Capital Club to hear your report again.
Okay.
It appears we don't have a whole lot of malfeasance on the part of my former lobby colleagues in terms of failing to file and report, et cetera, but I think your presentations as well as Tammy's in the past have gone very well there, and we'll obviously... It'll depend on what happens between now and then in regard to COVID, but
that's on your calendar for late fall.
Very good.
Before the session starts.
Right. Very good. Thank you.
Whatever the session holds, by the way, it's on right now. And you can't go over there if you're a citizen or a lobbyist, by the way. Mm-hmm. They're banned from the building.
Yeah.
So, okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Finally run.
Okay. So the current biennial budget, I just want to be really clear with the commission that when you're hearing on the news that the state of Oregon is down in money, it is a general fund, I don't want to say problem, but it's a general fund shortfall of money. We, on the other hand, are still currently underspending our budget. The latest numbers I have is about $95,000 we have in surplus right now. So luckily, being out of the general fund, we are not getting affected by this other than kind of having to follow all the same rules that everybody else is. Having said that, we have spent a little bit of money. It wasn't a whole lot, but we still had to report it. I think it was under $100, and it's around hand sanitizers and masks and things like that in the office. The only other COVID cost that we have, and we haven't got billed for them yet, but I'm sure that one of these days they will bill us for the additional laptops and cell phones we needed for teleworking so that we have double verification getting in. You might have seen, there was a little article in the Oregonian the other day where my hometown paid almost $50,000 to a hacker group for ransomware. And it also came out that Tillamook County paid $300,000 for a ransom. And so the state of Oregon is very determined to make sure that we are also not, our computer systems are not held for ransom. So that's why every one of the employees not only have their own laptop, but then they also have their own cell phone. So there's double verification coming into the state system. So the 21-23 budget, that we will have that out on August 1st. The next meeting, we'll have copies for the commission to take a look at. But the numbers themselves have made it through audit. So we actually have our numbers now. We did not ask for any policy packages in this biennium. We were not asking for an expansion or any computer projects or anything that can't be handled within the current service level that we have right now. So the SEIs, I think what's really pointing out here, we only have six filers that haven't filed for last year.
Four.
Oh, now we're down to four. Okay, see? My numbers are always wrong. I know that Kathy and Dave continue to try to contact the four. They must have contacted two out of the four.
We did.
And
superintendent.
Or two out of the six. Make it four.
They're going through a lot right now.
You know, I know that you folks don't remember the old way of doing this by paper, but literally at the same time, we would have hundreds of these left over. Right. So the less we have on this end, the less you folks see on the other end. And even when you do see them, like today we were talking about waiving $10 here and, you know, and even the ones we had to go over had multiple years, where before they had a $5,000 violation, this time they had, you know, a $70 violation. So the system really does help these folks out. I know there's a lot of concern about people statewide using computers to file, but the numbers just, I mean, to really tell the story. So the audit is still out there. They're doing their field work now. They've asked us for access to our CMS system, and which is our case management system, and we have given them access to look at that. So you know, I haven't been updated by them on where they're at. I know they're out there doing their job. They'll communicate with us I guess when they're finished, or they need some access to something else, or have any questions. So others, we knew we hired the new trainer. Really glad to have Becky on. She comes to us with a wealth of knowledge. She's a graduate also of the local university here, of the Atkinson School, Graduate School of Management. So brings a lot of credential with her, as with a lot of experience. So really looking forward to that. So I just put in that we continue to. So the building itself, John Morrow actually purchased a scanning machine. I talked about this earlier. So now everybody that, as long as the building locked, but everybody that comes into the building is going to be scanned to make sure that they're not running a temperature, which, you know, the temperature is one of the major indicators of this COVID-19. So we're feeling a little safer each day inside of the building. Amber Hollister, the new commissioner, has been confirmed by the Senate. They have dated her for July 1st, so at the next meeting she will be here. She is general counsel for the Oregon State Bar, so again, and she actually works on the ethics side.
Another attorney,
yeah.
The ethics attorney for the bar.
Yeah. So
that works.
She has a wealth of experience. Very nice person. I think everybody's going to be very pleased to be working with her, and we appreciate her, as all of you folks volunteering your time here. We met again with the governor's office on the legislative concepts. So there will be other meetings along the way, but. So we continue to keep working now.
Can I ask you a question on that score, just briefly?
Sure.
Maybe a silly question to ask with regard in the context of the pandemic protests and budget travails in the state of Oregon. Did you get any reaction from the governor's office about those concepts? Any reaction or not?
I actually think that the governor's office, it's not the governor but the governor's office, I think that they're okay with four. I don't think they like the media one very much. So
which is
I don't know if they're willing to look at that right now, but we're still talking about it.
Yeah,
say that.
That's good.
So the last thing I want to point out is that the state agencies will still be closed through August 31st. That's the last governor's executive order that's out there, and so. Unfortunately, our next meeting will also be online, and maybe the one after that we can get back to normal, but plan on the next one to also be a virtual meeting. So with that, Chair, that's all I have, unless people have questions.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. All right. Well, thank you again to our staff. You, as always, incredible work under very difficult circumstances, everything being remote. Monica, you are our savant when it comes to making all of this happen.
That's a compliment, by the way.
Yeah. thank you very much for all the incredible work you do. So, everybody,
thank
stay
you.
Safe, have a great weekend, and see you next time.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.